This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
Welcome back to the second hour of Food for Thought with Carol and Mike, live at the Beacon Building. You are listening to 107.7. You can also stream us live on the World Wide Web all around the world on WTPLFM.com, and it is powered by the Granite State Dairy Promotion. We'd also like to let listeners know tomorrow we'll be doing a live remote at the State House. It's on propane and grilling and
propane safety, The propane industry is putting it on, and there'll be lots of vendors and a lot of cool things to see and buy and learn about.
Hey, so if you Friday morning you're off or you're retired, and come on down to the State House and come and say hi to us and come and see what's going on. Sounds like fun. And also, let's remind people that we will be starting a summer series June 12th. It will be our first Friday that will be outside of the Beacon Building. And so, we'll be doing our regular segment, but, talking to people walking by and, see what happens outside. It should be kind of cool. I'm excited for it.
We kind of took that for a test ride for the taco tour. Back a couple of weeks ago, and it was fun. So if we can just keep the temperature at a nice 72 degrees every Friday through August, I'll be happy.
All right. Well, we have a packed show, so we need to be on schedule here. So let's welcome our next guest, Linda Ditch of Kansas. You can check out her blog there and back again, lindaathompson.blogspot.com. Welcome, Linda.
Hey, Carol. Hi, Mike. How's it going?
Hi. Good to talk to you.
I think I put up this new blog post in time because I know, believe it or not, you guys have been hotter temperature-wise out there than we are here in Kansas.
Oh.
So I got this new post up just in time to help cool off.
Well, and I think we're going to be talking about grape drink, right?
Yes. Mike asked for the Canterbury Shaker Village's spiced grape drink recipe. And I found it, and I put it up on the blog today. So it's all ready to go for summer.
Well, we would love to know it, because I can just picture those large pitchers of the drink at the shaker table at Canterbury Village, and I always wonder how you made it.
Well, it's very simple. You get some Concord grape juice, whether you squeeze the grapes yourself or you... But I buy organic grape juice, Concord grape juice. But use Concord grape juice. Don't just try and find just any kind of grape juice, because it just won't be the same. And the sisters at the village, that's what they grew, were Concord grapes. So you want to go with the Concord grapes. And then all you do is you add cinnamon, allspice, cloves, cook it for a little bit so that the spices infuse in the juice. Then strain those spices out, chill it, and you're ready to go.
Wow.
It's easy to add some sugar, too, because it can be a little tart, but...
Sounds kind of interesting.
Well, and what I also like to do, and I mean, they don't do this at the village, but what I like to do, maybe to make it a little more grown up, I like to add bubbles. So I like to pour in a little bit of club soda or seltzer water,
yep.
Or sparkling wine.
Ooh.
Pour in a little Prosecco or a little Cava or, some sparkling, California's finest sparkling wine. Pour a little in there and make it a little bit more of a grown-up drink, if you'd like.
A little bit of a sangria feel to it, huh?
Right, yeah, just a little bit. The recipe is based on one I found from Jeff Page at Cotton, and he wrote a shaker cookbook, and that has the recipe in it, and that's where I base mine off of, and so you'll be all set for summer now.
Can't say, honestly, I've never had it when I've been there. I don't know what I ordered, if I just had water, but I looked at it. I said, what is that?
It's life-changing, Mike.
Oh, it is?
Well, or at least surprising. I mean, the first time I had it, and I wrote about this on the blog, it was my first visit ever to the village, and it was the middle of summer, hot, sweaty. And of course, there's not really any air conditioning around that village, and it was a hot, hot day, so I sat underneath a shade tree with a glass of it, and it is refreshing. And the taste is it because of the spices. You take that first sip and you get the grapes, and you're like, oh, it's great, this grape juice. But then you get the spices, and it's like, well, wait a minute, there's more to this drink than grape juice. patio, but it's instantly cooling and refreshing. And the sisters used to serve the grape juice to visitors. I mean, for decades, they've been serving this grape juice to people who came to visit the village. So, and they saw it as a great way to cool off in the summer as well. So,
I remember having grape juice as a kid, and that Concord grape juice, it gets you all blue. That's what I don't like about it.
Turns the teeth a little blue.
It does, though. It really does. It gets you all blue.
Well, then that's maybe why you put in some bubbles and maybe dilute it a little bit. Actually, I've been drinking it since I made it, and I haven't noticed that problem. Of course, I haven't gone running into the bathroom to look in the mirror. I'm drinking the glass now. Maybe I'm going to go check it out.
Now, we just have a couple minutes left because we have a really packed hour. Is there any other quick tidbit that you can share with us inside of 3 minutes for a little tip from Linda today?
A little tip for, okay. If you're not going to drink this drink to stay cool, I recommend a Southern Frost, which is a cocktail made with Southern Comfort, a little cranberry juice, and some ginger ale. And it's a great drink for summer.
That sounds pretty good.
Now, would you find that at your local pub down the street, or is this one of your self-creations?
Well, this is one that actually I saw first in a book of cocktails quite a few years ago. You can find the recipe online, or you can find it on my blog. I posted it last summer. So if you go to my blog, if you Google Southern Frost and There and Back Again, you'll probably, the recipe should pop up for you, so.
There you go. And listeners, if you don't know Linda's blog, lindaathompson.blogspot.com, there and back again. All right. Well, Linda, we're going to need to cut you short today, and we apologize for that.
That's no problem. I understand how that goes. But we'll talk to you next week, and I have a cookie recipe I'm putting up for cranberry bliss cookies.
Ooh. All right, that sounds delicious. All
I saw your chocolate cherry cookies on there, and I got excited about that.
I did, too.
Oh, yeah, the chocolate cherry, those are amazing.
Yum.
They looked really good.
Even if I say so myself.
All right, Linda, thank you, and we'll talk with you next week.
Okay, have a good one. Bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, you are listening to Food for Thought, and when we come back, we have
Nalima Gogumala, who has Creative Chef Kitchens, a business that takes folks that like to bake in small batches or become entrepreneurs. She has a massive, beautiful kitchen and dairy, and you can do all the work there instead of your own cramped kitchen, and she has launched some really great brands out of their local folks.
That is very cool. I can't wait to hear more about it. So stay tuned. Food for Thought will be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Food for Thought. We're in our second hour on a day filled with wonderful and varied interesting guests. Our Food for Thought show is brought to you by Integrity Health Coaching Solutions in Bedford and Londonderry. And, of course, Rocco Boulay will be in next Monday, as he always is, with more coaching suggestions for healthier lifestyle changes. Carol is living proof that it's working very well. And we're also brought to you by Red Arrow Diners, Manchester, Milford, and now open with drive-thru in Londonderry. And today, some big goings-on in Londonderry at Exit 5.
Yes. Grand opening today it starts at 2 officially, and there'll be all kinds of stuff going on. But you can go into the diner for the next 48 hours, really, and get a free raffle ticket. And, as many times as you go in, you can get a raffle ticket every time you go, and all kinds of prizes. Grand prize winner will get free breakfast for two for a year. But Coke is supplied all kinds. There's like this little go-kart in there and everything. It's pretty motorized go-kart. It's pretty cool. So all kinds of prizes. So.
Fun.
Yeah.
It's very cool. I'd like to welcome our next guest. And I really find what she does interesting for people like me, who kind of stuck my toe in the water of making cookies on small batches for charity events. I recently actually provided cookies for a conference. 10 dozen was my first order. And it's clear to me that the way to grow and to bake or to make sauces or whatever is not in your own kitchen, where, you just don't have as much capacity. And, of course, then you've got cleanliness issues and everything else. So you find somebody like Nalima Gogumala, who owns Creative Chef Kitchens in Derry, which is a business incubator for foodies. Who would have thought?
I think it's
a brilliant idea.
It's absolutely brilliant.
And here's the great thing, Nalima. You are, first of all, welcome.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
You're kind of, I don't want to call you a serial entrepreneur, but you're not happy if you're not creating something new to be busy with, right?
I think I like the title serial.
Okay, we'll go with that. So here's
Did you just come up with that?
No.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I've heard that expression before. Somebody that just likes to create businesses, you know, and follow them through and then move on to something else. And I know from your background, that's what you've done. If we have time, we'll get into some of the other things you've done.
Absolutely.
But what probably one of your biggest satisfactions is you're an entrepreneur helping entrepreneurs.
Yes, I think that's where the challenge of this business.
Give her a little more volume if you would there. Yeah, thanks.
Can you hear me?
There we go.
That's where the challenge of this business keeps me, you know, occupied and involved in what I do on a day-to-day basis, because every day we have new businesses come in. They're all in the food space, but they have a variety of foods. They've got a variety of needs as far as growth is concerned. Some people just want to do catering. Some want to do a product that they want to sell at farmers markets, and some just want to grow even bigger. So the challenges are incredible for me as an entrepreneur, because I can reach to different resources to help them out.
Now, okay, let's say I'm a caterer.
Sure.
And I need a commercial kitchen. Mm-hmm. So I would call you.
Right.
Now, I have an event on Friday night. Mm-hmm. What if someone else is using the kitchen? I mean, how far in advance do you need to schedule the kitchen?
Well, I haven't come up with that challenge as yet, mainly because we are still new and we have a lot of time. We can have anywhere up to 6 to 8 people in the kitchen at the same time. It's very large, and we have several tables. So we are never, ever actually full. And we open during the evenings and the weekends. So it works out. We haven't had that. I'd like to have that challenge once, you know, have too many people in the kitchen so far.
No, but that's really good, you know, because, you know, as a caterer, you know, they cater it all different days and times and nights. And, you know, that's what kind of first came to thought. So.
Yeah, we can do that. It's not as easy as walking in, because there's some permitting and some licensing that has to happen before. So you have to give us at least a week to get in there. But once you're in there, you can schedule time anytime you want.
And you literally assembled this whole kitchen, this whole deal. You designed it, you laid it out, you made the purchases.
Yes.
I mean, it's beautiful, and anybody that has been in a commercial kitchen would appreciate, you know, the touches and the attention to cleanliness, which is so important.
It is. I enjoy shopping and enjoy kitchen stuff, so it was a great combination of skills that I had, that I went out and purchased all this equipment myself, which is really great. I designed it mainly for bakers, so any baker can come in and just start cooking. We also have equipment for sauce makers and bottlers and granola people. We're also organic certified. One of our companies is organic certified, so we can pass that test. We are in the process of being USDA certified, so we are going to welcome meat producers.
Oh, so you haven't been able to do any meat products up to this point?
Not for wholesale. For retail, yes.
Oh, okay.
So direct to customer, we can do that, but not wholesale.
Now, they come in with their own ingredients.
Yes, that's the only thing we don't provide, is ingredients. And the Tupperware packaging to take it out, and everything else we provide.
And now when they come in, mm-hmm. it's clean, obviously. And when they leave it the same way.
Yes, yes. We do like them to clean up after themselves. Every piece of equipment that they touch needs to be clean. But we also have our own cleaning staff that comes in on a regular basis and cleans everything out. We try to keep it as sanitary as possible.
Yeah, and you probably wouldn't be shy, from what I know of you, to tell somebody that it needed to be a little bit cleaner, maybe?
I've dealt with that before, but most of my customers are just great. Well, I should say all my customers are really great. They don't touch anyone else's product. They don't impose their views on someone else. They work within their little space, and mm-hmm. they clean up. They're very disciplined about what they do. And, you know, I have a cost to using my kitchen, so they want to maximize their time as well. So they're very disciplined when they come in. And I insist they are disciplined. Don't waste your time talking and socializing. You need to maximize your time, because every product has to give you a return. Everything you sell has to be efficient in what you do.
Now, every entrepreneur has a story. So what is your story? Like, how did you come up with doing this?
God, I've said this so many times. I was just doing some research on the food industry for a friend who was going through some issues with her restaurant, and I thought, why don't we have a food incubator? There's incubators for all sorts of industry, like the tech industry has one, the the fashion industry has them. Retail, you can get some retail experience. For kitchens and restaurants, you actually go in and you got to be a waitress or something like that. And it's just not the best way to get experience. So I started with the restaurant market to see how restaurateurs incubate their ideas. And the more I did research, I realized there are these small businesses that are struggling in the same space, trying to get their product out there. It's grandmother's recipe, it's mom's recipe, or something they've come up with that they feel that they need to market because all their friends and family like it. That's usually 99% of our story. Someone has a product that people love, and they want to start marketing it. And so they come in, and we help them from registering a company in New Hampshire right up to which store would you like to go to? Do you want to be in Whole Foods? Do you want to be in Market Basket? Do you want to do farmers markets? Do you want to do online sales? We'll
so you help them with that as well?
Yes. We take them right down
the
line.
Is that included in the hourly fee that they pay?
Yes,
really?
It is.
Which, you know, I don't know if you want to tell what the fee is, but I mean, it is very minimal in my opinion. I mean, I don't know what your price point needs to be.
I'd be really curious.
Well, we charge $25 an hour to use the kitchen.
That's amazing.
And the more hours you use per month, our rate drops. And people come in, we start them off at about 8 hours because they're still navigating the market. Once they are comfortable, they increase their hours depending on how much they sell. With the markets, with the farmers markets opening up now for the winter summer markets, it's going to be very full in the kitchen. People are always making, especially during the weekdays, so they can start selling on the weekends. And nowadays, lots of farmers markets are also opening on the weekdays.
Right.
So they come in anytime they want, and I'm already getting kind of filled up for the rest of the summer.
So you've got the kind of connections. You can reach out to various, say, boutique sales places, if that's appropriate, or Whole Foods.
Or the Grocers Association.
So these are people that you're connected with that you could actually at least make the introduction, whether or not the product ever gets in there.
Right.
And they get that as part of the $25 an hour.
Yes.
That's amazing.
We do all. I do all.
It is amazing.
Yeah.
And now, how do people find you?
If you eat at La Coretta a lot, like I do, you'll find it in dairy.
Wait, does she eat
website?
At La Coretta a lot?
No.
I don't get it.
La Coretta is about 5 doors away from us.
I'm giving them
advertising here.
That's all right.
A lot of people find me on the internet. They type in commercial kitchen, shared kitchen, something like that, and they would always find me. The folks at WMUR's Chronicle, I think. They did a wonderful story on us last year, and it aired twice, and we just had a whole bunch of people calling us up. So it's been very, very good. I always call myself a big fish in a small pond, so any little bit of advertising, we get a bunch of people calling, and it's very, very nice. I do like it.
Well, you'll get a bill for this later. I forgot to tell you. No, just kidding.
But it's been really good. We're about 25 months old. We opened our doors April 2013, and it's just been a series of new people coming in. I haven't had too many people leaving. I'm very proud that a couple of people have moved on to bigger and better things. They've opened up their own store, or they're going to a co-packer. So that's always very encouraging. Makes me feel very proud.
They started with you.
Right. I miss their $25 an hour, but still, it's great that they're out, because I don't want to deal with someone who is doing large production. We're not equipped for that. We're for startups. I'm for startups. I only help startups get off the ground. And once they get to a certain point, they need to grow, because that's what they want to do. And they can get very secure in going to the kitchen, but they don't think about expanding. At that point, I like to talk to them about maybe moving out and getting their own
place. So you're kind of like the parent, and you kind of give them the little place to learn things,
yes.
And then you kick them out of the house and move them on, as you said, to bigger and better things.
And most of the customers I have are not foodies. I mean, not food. They don't have a food background. They are foodies. Mm-hmm. They don't have a food background. They don't have a culinary background. They don't even have a business background. And you need to, that's part of the services I offer them, I guess, you know, how to price your product, how to grow your product, what's the potential, which market should you explore. You have a very sophisticated, neat product. Maybe New Hampshire is not the market for you. Maybe you should go into Cambridge or Boston.
So what is your background?
I have a couple of master's degrees. I have an international trade degree and an entrepreneurship degree. And I haven't really done that much with international trade, but the entrepreneurship has come in very, very useful.
Right out of college, though, you went to work for Senator Bob Dole, correct?
Oh, well, the organization that I worked with, he was the chair many years ago.
Okay.
So that was my first, that's the first time I met a statesman, I guess.
Sure. And you had a clothing endeavor for a few years.
Yes. my first business was an online custom-made Indian clothing business, which did very well, but I did want to get out of it for a few years. So I did get out of it, and I started an environmentally friendly products made from burlap, which I still carry.
We should talk about that.
Let's talk about that.
That's a good time. Thank you for mentioning that.
It's because this is very unique, and I really like
it. Well, let's describe it here.
Let people know what exactly we have in front of us right now, Nilima.
It's a coffee cup cozy, actually. It's like one of those...
sleeve type of
thing. It's a sleeve, exactly, for paper cups. And instead of paper, they are made out of burlap, which is environmentally friendly. It's biodegradable. It provides a lot of employment for a very poor people who dabble in this industry, and it's one of my favorite products because it's sustainable, because it's biodegradable, and we make these coffee cup sleeves out of them. I also have environmentally safe bags that I make out of them, and it's one of my favorite things.
It is like the cutest thing, and listeners, I'm going to have a picture of it up on Food for Thought NH, and go to our Facebook page. Amy, my social media girl, will definitely put that up, because I just think this is the coolest thing, and we'll talk about Red Arrow or Midtown Cafe about this. So I think they're so
nice.
Cool.
But before Nilima leaves, you have sort of kind of gotten a bit into the food. I mean, you're in the food world big time with what you're doing, but you don't really have a product until now.
Yes. When I first started the business, the Creative Chef Kitchens, I really wanted to own a couple of food businesses by the time we hit the two-year mark. And so I was rushing last December, and I thought, I need to get a product under my belt. And so
get out.
I launched a company with a couple of people at the kitchen, Renee and Pam, and we started something called Vivid Confections. And in a nutshell, it's a greeting card and messaging company, but we don't use paper. We use marshmallows. So so we put pictures on marshmallows, and we put a message on marshmallows, so we can do like a little greeting card with marshmallows, and we ship it off to
you. Think in terms, because if you had explained it to me, I might not have grasped it. You know, think of the birthday cakes you get.
Yeah.
You can go into and it's got a photograph on the icing part. Well, this is kind of a scaled down version, sort of the same concept, but a whole different medium.
It is, and it's very easy for us to do, mainly because everyone is on social media. So if you want to send us your picture by Facebook, we'll download it, we'll put it on the marshmallow, we'll send it off to mom, dad, your...
These would be great for, like, wedding favors.
Wedding favors,
so
graduation.
So cool.
Right? Right? Instead of butterflies, how about, you know...
I think these are, like, so cool. You can go to vividconfections.com, and I'm sure she has pictures up. And, I mean, I'm looking at a postcard right now, and... Now, this is probably a really snooping question. Yeah. Do you just mush the marshmallows down, or do they come square?
We make those. We make
you
marshmallows.
You do?
Yeah.
That's one
we
of
make,
your businesses,
that's one
right?
of the businesses.
Yeah.
We make them in the kitchen. We have several flavors. We have about 28 flavors that we're working with. And also, we do vegan marshmallows.
I saw that because my
well
son is.
Traditional
oh my gosh.
Marshmallows. We cut them into 2 by 2 inch squares, and we put pictures on them, and we send them out. So... Next time you want to send flowers, you know, think about us first.
I'm taking this, Mike.
There you go. Well, see, we got you some business today, Nilima.
That is so cool.
Thank you.
Well, we are pretty much out of time. And there's a lot more that you can learn. Any last minute things that you want to throw out there?
Oh, I really don't.
I know you're going to do a little spice thing. I don't know if you're ready to talk about that yet.
We are working on the spice thing with another business. As I said, I've hit that milestone where I want to own a couple of businesses in the kitchen. So we're working on a spice company that's kind of developing a line of spices for the American kitchen to make Indian food. It's becoming very popular, and we want to kind of jump on that bandwagon, I guess.
All right.
So that's pretty much it. Come to creativechefkitchens.com. Visit us. Send us an email. Facebook us. We have a Twitter account. We would love to hear from anyone who wants to start a business in the anywhere in New England. We have a 40-mile radius, so people don't travel further than that to come to us. But we're right off 93, and we would love to work with new businesses.
Yeah, see, I need to think about this for my cookies and some other things that I make, because you get the full consultation.
It's unbelievable. $25 an hour. You can't go wrong.
I could do
really
a lot of the prep at home and then just do the baking there and tap into Nalima's vast...
Tap into her mind.
Into her, her serial entrepreneurial mind.
We have a lot of equipment in the kitchen, so everything gets done really, really fast.
Well, I like that.
Very cool.
Nalima Gogumala, our guest, Creative Chef Kitchens, creativechefkitchens.com, a business incubator for foodies. And now you know, if you wanted to start a little business, this is the way to go at a very, very low price. Nalima, so nice to see you. I see you around town from time to time where I live, so I'm glad that we got you up here to be on the show.
Thank you for having me. This is a great opportunity.
Very welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. All right. You are listening to Food for Thought. You're 107.7 FM. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with Chef Patrick Hall, Lakes Region Community College. We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7. The Pulse.
It's 140 WTPL. Carol Lawrence, Mike Moore, and the show is Food for Thought every weekday from noon until 2. Tomorrow we will be at the State House, actually on the lawn. I'm really looking forward to this. It's all about propane safety and grilling and all the things having to do with that. It's fun. And that's such a great place to actually be. You know, downtown Concord.
It should be fun. I think it's supposed to be nice, too.
You know what? I think you're right about that. Yeah. The front comes through today. It cools off a little bit tomorrow.
I think it's going to be perfect.
So we go on the air at noon, and who knows who we're going to have. We're going to go ahead of time. We're going to handpick some vendors to talk to and just go from there.
Should be fun. Yeah. So come on down to the State House tomorrow. Propane safety, which is, you know, perfect. Beginning of the year.
That's
learn
right.
Some things.
Very important stuff.
Yeah. Maybe I'll even learn how to grill a little bit.
Oh, you could do it.
I'm not a griller, I'm telling you. I'm pretty good at searing now, Chef Patrick.
Yeah?
I can sear now.
Sear. Now that we have our little talks, you know, so that's great.
I am telling you, and it comes out pretty darn good.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's so much better.
It's so much better, yeah. You know, if you learn how to do, you know, proper, you know, cooking techniques and do it right and do it so you can do it flawlessly, it changes the way you cook, you know, and it's just a matter of getting in there and practicing to make perfect.
Is that like a filet mignon? You would sear it and then put it in the oven to finish it off?
Yeah. You know, if it's a thicker piece of meat, sear it, grill it, and then finish it off in the oven. And it depends on, you know, what type of oven you have. If you have a convection oven, it takes a lot less time. But at the same time, also learning, like you say, when you're grilling and you take it out of the oven, let it sit for a little while so it just kind of rests, and then dig into it, and then you're just like,
whew. All right. So my number one kitchen gadget is a thermopen thermometer.
Yes.
Now, I know there's ways that you can touch meat and feel it. You know, clearly I'm not that advanced, but I tell you what, I have not ruined a meal since buying this. It's $100, but it's worth every penny. If you're going to,
a good thermometer is always.
Have you seen the thermopen?
I have not seen.
All right, I'm gonna bring one in for you because everybody I show it to wants one. We give them as gifts.
Yeah.
It goes to the degree in seconds.
Really? No kidding. That's like a digital thermometer is what we usually use. You know, at the restaurant, but we also use the bimetallic thermometers. And what it is it's that little dial that goes up there.
Yes.
And a lot of people at home, they're like, oh well, you know, I cooked this roast and it's overdone. I don't understand. I said, well, what's your thermometer look like? What's the one I put inside the meat? And I said, well, there's your problem. Those old metal ones that you put inside the meat and it goes inside the oven start at 145 degrees. So at that point in time, your meat's already well done.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fine for poultry.
Yeah. Yeah.
But no good for, you know, a rare cut of beef that want at 125.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and there's a difference, you know, like I said, when you start talking about cooking, especially the sanitation aspects of it, what the sanitation guidelines in the restaurant industry, what they want you to do and what is favorable for the customer. What the customer wants are totally different. That's why we have to put things on the menu like, you know, not responsible for consuming undercooked meats and eggs and fish and things
along
like
those
that.
Lines. I have been, Carol, and maybe you have. I've been to a few restaurants where I have asked to have a piece of meat, say, at medium rare, and they said we won't do anything medium.
Some people won't,
and it's like, well, you know what? I don't think I'm coming back here again. I understand why you're doing
it,
but you know, I guess I'm not coming back here because I want it a certain way.
Yeah, and I'm the same way with that too. You know, it's like if I ask for it, then I'm assuming the responsibility,
right.
You know.
Right.
So and a lot of people, you know, like I said, they you know, inside restaurants and things like that, they, you know, the rest of, there's so much liability for a restaurant nowadays that, you know, it kind of throws it off, you know, like it's just even to the point where, like, you know, you talk about some of the leftovers and things that restaurants have where they could give to a food kitchen, but they can't. Because you'll get in trouble with the liability if someone gets sick from the food. I mean, it's kind of a shame.
That's too bad. You know what France is doing now?
Yeah.
There is a new law that if you have leftover food in your restaurant, you must make it available to shelters or soup kitchens. Yeah, it just came out about a week ago, and it's worth looking into. Maybe they're throwing liability aside, but maybe that's the way to go.
You mean leftover after the day?
No, I mean food that not stuff that's been served already, but, you know, you have extra portions left. You are required by law to make it available. And I don't know what the categories are, so maybe it's certain things versus others.
Yeah.
But it seems like a responsible thing to do, whereas we have so much waste. I mean, you know, you've lived in the kitchen your whole life.
Absolutely. You know, and it's like, you know, you might have – you do a batch of soup, but you have enough that you can serve it for – you know, it's still good, but maybe the next day you're not going to serve it because it's going to be out in 2 seconds. So you maybe have a small batch of that, so it's not worth it. So, you know, let's give that to the soup kitchen, or I have extra bread, or I have, you know, every little bit, you know, helps. I mean, I've always thought that was crazy, especially for culinary schools. Oh my God. I mean, like, you know, like I said, I tied into our local farms, and I give our scraps to the local farms because, you know, the pigs and animals can eat the vegetable scraps, and it's perfect. But like I said, yeah, it's I've always thought that was a crazy, crazy, you know, law.
You know, it's funny you guys are saying that, because as I'm sitting here thinking, you know, and I'm not sure if there'd be other restaurant owners thinking the same thing. And maybe I'm thinking this because I'm 24 hours, but, you know, we don't have I would be amiss if I certainly said we don't have any waste.
No, yeah,
but
no.
We really don't have a lot of waste. I mean, you know, that's food cost. I mean, you know, the general managers need to, you know, they have certain food costs every month that they have to go by. Otherwise, they don't get bonuses. Yeah, and it goes by inspections. You know, like I had the inspection this morning in Londonderry. I walked through with my director of op, and, you know, so that's kind of.
Yeah, you're correct when you do say that. As a chef, you know, that's your lifeline. If you if you have tons of waste, you're not going to be around.
You're not going to be employed for too long.
But you think about, like, you know, like maybe the retail stores that have extra bread and it's getting close
I
to
can
date,
see
but
that.
It's still good, things like that. Or if you're a catering company, say you threw a party, and you know all the time when you do catering, you know, people quote, "Oh, I'm gonna have 50 people and 20 show up."
And it was paid for it.
And it's paid for, and they don't want it. So what are you going to do? You know, certain instances, and then all the schools around here too, you know, we do extra stuff, like I said, at the school. We cook so they can practice, and it's like I always have leftover stuff because it's, you know, I try to budget it just right, but at the same time, you know, students are like, "Oh, I don't want to take this, I don't want to take that," so I'm like, here we go.
And you know, we had Carrie Lehman on a couple weeks ago, and then she was your co-host when I was away. And, you know, she is like the ideal situation because someone that, you know, her main business is Tidewater Catering. And then she has her three cafes that she also – two cafes.
But the third one in September.
Right. Yeah. That's right. I knew there was three. That's right. And, I mean, that's the ideal situation. You have catering. You have, you know, have it for 170 show up. You have that extra food. It goes on special the next day at you know,
and if
at
you're
Waterworks
a catering company,
Cafe.
It doesn't have that
I mean,
outlet.
That's what exactly.
Yeah, you know,
exactly.
That's one of those things that, you know, like I said, and there's always instances. You know, it's not like it's a lot of food, but, you know, you always want to see that change. You know, because, you know, you want to help out community.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
you want to be a part of the community and stuff like that. So
by all means,
yeah, absolutely. So,
all right. So you are off for the summer from your professorial duties.
Yes. Well, technically, we start our summer classes. So I always teach summer classes. We didn't have to teach summer classes, but I love to do it. My summer classes are my favorite because we're not really open to the public. So it's kind of time
more casual.
Yeah, more casual, more laid back. You got more time because you're not kind of beating that clock to serve to the public. And so the students really enjoy it too. So we have, you know several classes that run. And I do four of them, and I do them on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, and they're back-to-back classes.
Could they sign up for that now, or how would they?
It's a little bit past the date
past
now.
That? Okay.
But people can sign up for those classes. And what I decided, I said, hey, you know, I'm coming in there, and we had talked about, you know, I did some vegetable cookery with you, and we talked about dressings and things like that, and I came up with the idea. I'm like, hey, listen, you know, I could go on air and bring you through the progression of what we're doing in class.
The
syllabus. So here's cooking 101 with, you know, on Food for Thought, you know. So, but it's great because we went in, we started off in our first class for this garmanger. Garmanger is
garmanger.
Yep, so something eat.
Something eat.
Yeah, it's the art and craft of the cold kitchen. Okay, so we start off and we make everything from, this is the class that I was telling you about, we make everything from our own cheeses to cure our own bacon to you name it, like I said. So we started off with dressings and stuff like that and emulsifications. So most people, like I said, you know, they don't they take that, those things for granted, you know, as far as dressings and things like that. So when we started off, you know, we have different, in most locations, I have them make mayonnaise right off the bat. All right. So, you know, make your own mayonnaise. People don't think about that. So mm-hmm. I'm like, all right, here you go. Get yourself a bowl, you know, metal bowl, a whisk. Measure out your eggs with all your vinegar, your lemon juice and mustard and things like that. And I said, start whisking. And it's a little joke I play with them every day. So,
that's mean.
So they're going to town because, you know, mayonnaise is a emulsification that's a permanent emulsification.
Explain emulsify.
So emulsify, if you had oil and you have water and you want them to come together,
yes.
All right, it doesn't do it normally. You take a bottle and you shake it.
Right.
That's called a mechanical emulsification. If you added – so something has to be in there to make your dressing right. come together as a dressing with oil, because the flavor of the oil and your vinegars or whatever the loose liquid. So what I would do is you have emulsifications that are agents that you can put inside there. So
you don't tell them that though, do you?
No, well, no, I do. I tell them.
Okay.
And so we start to, but there's different classifications. So you got your mechanical, you got your temporary emulsification, and then you got your permanent, like a mayonnaise. Well, one of the emulsifications that you put in there is mustard. Okay, that will make
– That's the binding
agent? Yeah, that's the binding agent that will go back.
Mustard.
Mustard, yeah. Dijon mustard, and that's basic, you know, with every dressing that you have. And then you can get into, you know, more into like I'm you know, I want to say there's different other binders that you can use that are more of like a gastronomic, mm-hmm. you know, binding agent that works well as too. Like, you know, you can get pectin and things like that too. But so we start off with that. So the basic, you know, your mayonnaise. Also, the other binding agent is eggs. So you start off with egg yolks, okay? So, and that's the main ingredient for mayonnaise. So you put the bowls, but you have to whip it up to get that nice consistency. So in the restaurant, here's the joke, in the restaurant industry, we take out our RoboCoop or our blender, right. and we whip it up that way. I was like, all right, you got to get it because you got to learn how to do this by hand.
Oh, my God.
So they're going to town, you know, trying to mix it. They're like, oh, chef, I'm
if
like,
you
hey.
Guys could see Chef Patrick
yeah.
right now.
Yeah. He's taking the bowl, and they're working and working. They're like, I'm like, hey, any good chef knows how to do this, you know?
Oh,
and
my God.
And so I got eight of them in class, and they're whisking away, and they're breaking a sweat, and, you know, and so finally I'm like, all right, everybody stop. I said, you know, in the restaurant industry, I break out the blender. I'm like, this is how we do it in the restaurant industry. I said, give me your stuff. And it comes together in about 2 seconds. And they're yeah. like, oh, chef, you got to be kidding me. We could have been using that the whole time. I'm like, yep, absolutely. You know, so it's a little joke as far as that goes. And
it's called hazing, chef. Let's call it what it is.
It's hazing, you know. There's an initiation process with this, you
all
know.
Right. And
we
you
call
know
it gamange.
Kevin from New Boston would like to chime in. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Very good. How are you?
Not bad. Just a quick question. It kind of maybe ties into tomorrow's routine. When it comes to meat, what is actually the definition, I guess, of a medium rare or a medium well? Because depending on the type of restaurant you go to,
right.
a medium at one place is probably medium well at another place. You know what
yep.
I mean?
Yeah, I totally know what you mean, and I was going to say that, but I always seem to be the devil's advocate. But you know,
when you go to like a steakhouse, and I'm not going to put any names, but a particular steakhouse, they have a much clearer definition
yes.
and seem to be like what I would think is a definition. Versus, you go to some of these chain restaurants, and you know, it's kind of a generic. You know, yeah, medium is kind of pink.
Right, yeah. Chef, what's your response?
It's,
to that?
You know, I don't order steaks at a chain restaurant. I would go to the steakhouse, and you're correct. And it's usually a warm pink center is what they call a medium. So it's not, you know, if you have a raw piece of meat, you can see it's red. You know, different red. So it's got seared on the outside. It's red. And then you take it another step further. And then it kind of gets pinker and pinker until it starts to turn gray, you know, till that's more well done. But generally, you can go by temperature. If you're going to start at medium rare or rare, rare is like a 120 to 125. And then you get medium, which is 130, 135. You get 145, okay, you start getting medium well. So.
So it's a temperature thing. It's not
it's a
time
temperature
thing.
Because
I've heard some people say, well, you know, you put it on one side for 60 seconds and the other side for so many seconds and you get this.
The problem with that is that every cut of meat is different, and you have marbling in meat. So if some meat has more fat to it, it might cook quicker because that fat melts. So you can't plan on timing with that. And then you might have other cuts of meat that have less fat to them. So if you grill it and you take a temperature, that's going to be exact every time because we know the temperature. So, you know, to find a good temperature scale, like I said, I know it by my mind, but at the same time in a restaurant, I can touch the meat. And I always do this thing, and I tell my students, part of your hand, the heel of your hand, and if you put your thumb on your pointer finger and kind of rest it there, and you feel that, it's nice and it's soft, and that's like a rare. You go to the next one, it tightens up a little bit, and that's like a medium rare. And then you go here, it goes to medium, and then medium well.
With your pinky.
And so that's how you can feel the meat, but that's not exact. If you wanted to get exact, you'd have to take a temperature. And a lot of restaurants do too. If they have large piece of meat that they're sort of like a steakhouse, they will take the temperature to get it right. You know, and you should
get it
right.
I've had times where I've ordered a meat and say I wanted it with a warm pink center, and it comes out gray.
Yeah.
You almost feel bad sending it back.
No, yeah. Don't do that.
They can throw it away.
Don't feel bad. You know.
Well, I know, but I'm a hunter, so I appreciate the animal.
Yes.
And I really hate to see that meat thrown away.
I know what you mean, Kevin.
Absolutely. You know, but on the other side of it, as a restaurant, you go in there, you're paying $45 for a steak. You got to get it the way you want to. And believe me, if it's overcooked, it's not going to waste. It's going to hit the kitchen. Someone's going to eat it.
They'll do
something. All right. Take care.
Thanks, Kevin.
Thank you, Kevin.
Good question.
Yeah. Chef Patrick, thank you.
No
problem. Always learn something.
Absolutely.
All the time. We'll see you next Thursday.
I'm doing sandwiches next week, so I'll bring some in.
Yes. Oh, you're going to bring some in?
Yeah, I'll bring some in for you.
So. All right.
That's my next class on Garmager. I'll take
Sounds
some videos
great.
One of these days, too. So.
You can check out Kevin where he works, Lakes Region Community College, LRCC.com. And you're listening to Food for Thought. Tomorrow we'll be at the State House. Up next, Kale & Company. See everybody tomorrow. Bye, everybody.
Bye.